near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. We are talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio, it's always a pleasure to announce my favourite co-host, Patrick Bordier. Patty.
It's Patrick.
I'm liking to be formal today.
Right. Well, this evening I'm going to, for my Patty trick, score a hat-trick and then abuse a million of our audience.
Yeah, thank you, a la Wayne Rooney style, correct?
Yeah, reported for swearing.
He's an angry man.
He's a very angry man, considering that he also got his contract extended at Man U after carrying on and on and on. It's a pleasure to see him actually doing what he does best, which is be a total douchebag. No?
Yes. Well, yeah, I didn't mind it.
Going to brothels, is that what he does best?
That other lad you can hear chatting about brothels is our other favourite co-host, Nick Comston. Nicky! Can I call you Nicky?
Well, yeah, can we call you Nicky? I think we're
going to
call you Nicky.
Thanks for joining us, Nick. Coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news that you need to know about the latest Asian Champions League football. How about that Asian Champions League football, lads?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We've got Sydney and Melbourne playing this week. I think one's playing Tuesday night, one's playing Wednesday night.
Both against Chinese teams?
Yeah, both against Chinese teams.
Fantastic. We've also got some more news on the Australian football, the Socceroos, and a new segment.
Looking forward to the new segment, Lucy, I must say.
Listeners, not even I actually know about this new segment, so this is going to be a total surprise to me as well.
Nikki and I have been working on it all week.
If you've got a football if you've got a football inquiry or you'd like to email us with any questions that you do have, you can do so on our email, flanagan.amon@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com, on iTunes, on Halftime Heroes, and streamed live on 2xfm.org.au. And also, if you're receiving this broadcast through the Community Radio Network, you'll be hearing it on delay, so some of the information we will have will be updated since the time of recording. Yeah. But I do implore you, listen to us live so you don't even have to bother catching the podcast, right?
Catch the magic.
Yes, we implore you.
Show dedication this week, lads. I'm here to basically get right into the nitty-gritty of it. We know that our show dedications carry a lot of weight because those that are mentioned, of course, are up for a future Nobel or Pulitzer Prize, correct?
Absolutely.
So you'll be very special. Uli Hoeneß, Bayern Munich team president, who predicted that Bayern Munich A versus Bayern Munich B would be a better game than Germany versus the Socceroos.
He was wrong.
Uli, are you listening?
Maybe the German team would have a better chance of winning in the other game.
How long can we keep the joy, the sheer warm buzz of beating Germany going? I think another month for me. I'm happy to
do it. Another month you're willing to drag that out on?
Yeah, I'm well happy with this.
Yeah. When do the World Cup qualifiers start?
Quiz question now. I want to test those minds out there in radio land and also our professional football panellists here in the show. Now, what was significant about David Carney's goal against Germany?
It might make us stop saying rude things about him for the Asian Cup final.
Possibly. We'll see how we go.
Lads?
Was it something about the... I think it was the 1,000th goal ever scored against Germany.
Well done.
So Dave Carney, a bit of a special moment for him.
Very big special moment.
I'm sure
now,
he was thinking about that.
Are we gonna get rid of the quips, you know, David Carney, stop breaking my heart, Patty?
Well, you know what? There's been a few emails in about that.
There have some complaints. People are listening, Patty.
Well, yeah.
You're breaking a few hearts in the process.
I'd like to thank you all for listening. I think we all appreciate that. Whatever, I'll do what I want.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you.
But, all right, maybe we'll see how we go at the end.
It's under review.
We're going to get straight into the thick of things with our news before we move on to the hot topics of the week. Moving straight forward, interim Melbourne Victory coach Mehmed Durakovic is set to give goalkeeper Tando Valapi his debut for the Asian Champions League clash with Tianyin Teda. Paddy, what's the rumour you've heard to do
vis-a-vis
with the Melbourne
Victory?
Vis-a-vis Melbourne Victory.
Well, my friend Twitter informs me that there's a possibility, well, let's go with a rumour that Roy Keane might be looking at Melbourne Victory or Melbourne Victory looking at Roy Keane, not quite sure which way. If Roy wants the job, I'm sure he'll just tell him he wants it and take it.
It's a little bit juicy, isn't it?
It is a bit juicy. What's going to happen to Trigger his dog?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to Trigger?
The big issues here on the New Post. Yeah.
Seriously, it'll take a long time. It takes. Nick, you brought a dog over from overseas. What was the
process? Don't they have to be in quarantine for ages?
30 days for non-rabies countries, but up to 6 months if they do have rabies.
So the question is, will Trigger come?
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see if he can cope without his dog. More news about the Melbourne Victory. South Melbourne coach Eddie Kurinchevich has thrown his hat into the ring to coach the Melbourne Victory.
Oh,
Eddie,
he's
been around for quite a while now.
Still to the NSL?
Yeah, exactly.
Good experienced coach. I'd be keen for him to do it. Not least of all because he's a good Australian coach who should get some good game time in the A-League.
Mm. And it's good to see that a lot of these old NSL coaches are coming up through the ranks because that was a tough competition, okay? Yeah. So they had a lot to deal with. The standard of football for a start, not to mention the calibre of the fans too. So if they can kind of get put through the ringer in the National Soccer League, the old NSL, should I say, then I think they can do pretty well here in the A-League, right?
I mean, Postecoglou's raw Salona, for want of a better term.
We can't go a week without talking about him.
No, but genuinely showed that Australian coaches are as good as foreign coaches. Yeah. So, look, I'm really keen to see it. And I think you make a good point, Lucy. Mm. The NSL had a lot going for it. Yep, it had its issues. But we should be taking the strengths from the NSL.
Mm, I agree. Sasha Ognjanovski believes his dream of playing in the Bundesliga could be coming closer with growing interest from a German club. Now,
is that his dream?
Isn't everybody's dream to go over to the Bundesliga the English Premier League?
Look, it's on the list.
Apparently, it is the first stop for all Australians. But he can have better dreams than that.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with dreaming to play in the Bundesliga. I think it's a fantastic league.
Look, it's pretty good as far
one
as
of the
goes,
top
though.
Leagues in the European football. Okay, so I don't think he's aiming too low or too high. I think he could
aim high.
Where?
Spanish league. It's a better league.
This is a guy.
Italian league.
Disputed.
He's about 3 years removed from the VPL.
that is an incredible achievement. He really has, sorted up with
Hats off to the Og Monster.
Bundesliga
is pretty good for him.
Yeah.
Get ready to blow your 41st birthday candles out, Mark Schwarzer, because he's just announced that he wants to play at the 2014 World Cup.
So he'll be 41 at the World Cup.
He'll be 41 at the World Cup. Like I said, we'll be blowing out those birthday candles as he goes into that competition. Now, look, I know that goalkeepers have a much longer shelf life than a lot of, say, let's even compare it to a striker, but 41, is that pushing it just a little bit?
Well, I think Peter Shilton played at the World Cup at a similar age, and he still had it.
And didn't win then, either.
Good point, Nick.
What competition does he have?
Mm.
Maybe it's
Tandover Lapi.
I would like other goalkeepers to be challenging Schwarzer, but
if Langerak is playing at a really high level, or Adam Ferrucci. Mm.
So are they because my next question was going to be, okay, obviously we're going to come to a time now, I don't know if it's going to be the 2014 World Cup, I'd love to hold on to Schwarzer, I'd like him to basically take a sip of eternal...
I find it very reassuring as well.
Yeah, I'd like him to hold on, but, what if he's not a possibility? Who have we got?
I think we're pushing back to Federici, and then we've got our fingers crossed that Langerak will come through. I don't think Galekovic is, I don't think he's of young enough age, and he's going to have the opportunities that he needs. Needs to get that experience. Mm-hmm. Are there any other significant keepers out
Matt
there?
I think Matt Ryan, maybe for 2018, but not.
Yeah.
He's too young. He's only 19.
Yeah. And look, when experience is actually the most required when it comes to a goalkeeper.
Yeah, you can't be having self-doubt.
Just confirm, has Bosnich retired? Because
he's out.
Let it go.
He is out of the equation, unfortunately.
Sorry,
yeah. A number of pundits, including my blood brother, Ned Zelich and David Strelich, have said that Germany should be our model for footballing excellence on and off the pitch.
I just want to put it out there. Nick hates David Strelich.
Ooh.
Hates.
Ooh. Have you authorised Paddy to come out with this bombshell?
That's what you said to me. You said, I hate him.
I don't think that was the exact word.
You're lucky you didn't say Ned Zelich.
No.
I got big guns out there in Radio Land, for those of you that don't know. What's your gripe with Driller?
Yeah.
Look, he was there. He was talking to Les Murray. And normally I go into warm afterglow just hearing Les talk.
We all love Les.
But he was saying that first half against Germany, we didn't string more than 5 passes together. And because I'm the kind of guy who counts these things, we had one sequence where we put together 16 passes.
Jeepers.
I don't think Holger was match instructions before the game were like a second division soccer, Scottish soccer league coach telling them, "Hoof it long, lads," in a German accent.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think it's easy to play against Germany, and I don't think with our central midfielders Valeri and Jedinic, they have many gifts, but a short passing game isn't high on them.
I don't mind Zrilic's punditry. I think it's well constructed, and he's got some intelligent things to say.
It's not always factually accurate.
But there lies the problem. We're always going to disagree with somebody, and even though I know you're a bit red-faced about admitting you disagree with my brother, I'm sure there are plenty out there who dislike some of his commentary, and that's just the nature of the beast. But as far as we should be modelling our football excellence on and off the pitch on Germany, this goes back to what you were saying about Sasha Ognjenovski. You know, there in your mind, lads, there are better leagues than German football.
They've moved ahead of the Italian league in UEFA rankings.
UEFA rankings. Look, whilst I mock it a little bit, it is actually genuinely a very good league.
And should we be modelling...
Financially sound. Yeah. That's the A-League.
That's the model we should be taking.
Look, every other league other than the A-League is financially sound. Another...
League relies on some pretty rich people.
They've been following La Liga. There was a threat of a strike this week over showing one game a week on free-to-air TV.
That's right.
The government's response to it was that La Liga clubs currently owe 650 million euros in back taxes.
But it wasn't a strike. It was a strike by the owners who were saying that they wanted to control what was going to television. So, you know, there are some issues with La Liga.
Maybe that'll make Ben Buckley sleep a little bit better at night, knowing that a league like La Liga is actually struggling as well. So it's not just the A-League.
I hope Ben Buckley doesn't read the same football media, right?
More A-League news. Perth Glory defender Scott Neville has secured a 2-week trial with English Championship side Portsmouth starting April the 2nd. Neville, who is 22 years of age, is the only current Glory player not to have participated in the Vietnam War. Paddy, from my words...
Let me look at the author of this.
From my mouth to your ears. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that Nick's been very nasty.
Oh.
But I think... Sorry, Patricia.
Sadly, there's a grain of truth in it. And, you know, we've waxed lyrical about the Perth Glory issue, so I won't go into it too much.
No.
Perth desperately needs some younger players. Mm. And it'll be sad to lose Neville if he goes, but I'm not quite sure it's locked in. It's just a trial session, isn't it?
A fat check always eases the pain.
Of course it does.
But they don't seem to use it for anything regarding Perth Glory.
Returning back to my favourite, my personal favourite, should I say, Holger Osiek.
My favourite as well, Luke.
Good on you. He's been hailed as taking off the shackles for David Carney. Maybe he shouldn't have played him as a defender in the first place. What do we think?
I even want to talk about this.
All right, fine.
No. I'm on board.
Oh, we love Holger.
Raw CEO Peter McLennan has informed the FFA he will be leaving the club at the end of April, and speculation is that Chairman Chris Bombolas will follow him shortly after an FFA administrative review of the A-League winning club. Ooh. Troubled times, or does it really matter?
I think we're certainly I don't know if it's perhaps troubled, but certainly in times of turmoil. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of these sort of positions that are shifting around.
A lot of reshuffling. But what does that do to a club? I mean, obviously it's a lot harder if you've got, say, a coach who's constantly being churned in and out. But a CEO, does that make much of a difference?
I think if they can keep the playing group stable and staying on, I don't think it'll make too much difference.
We'll see how that goes. More news. Apparently there was an agreement in principle for Ronaldo, a.k.a. the Phenomenon, to come to the A-League for $1 million as the Melbourne Heart's inaugural marquee signing. The signing was contingent on Dutchman Ad De Mos's appointment as coach because Ronaldo only wanted to perform for De Mos, who had nurtured him at PSV Eindhoven.
This puts me in two minds because I would love to see Ronaldo. And Robert Pires came out and so that he was being targeted by A-League clubs as well recently. Although I don't think he said it quite that directly. He made a vague reference to the A-League and we took it on board that he was about to join. These guys are old, you know, and it's They're bringing them out like museum pieces, and I don't know quite how constructive
museum
they are.
Museum pieces.
Well, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, Romario came out and played for Adelaide, and that was as disappointing. I was really looking forward to that. I thought he would still have some spark, and that was as disappointing a sort of marquee pick as I've seen. So maybe it's best
Jeffers was good this year.
Maybe it's best that we have these rumours and the media talks about it, but it's not best that those guys actually come up and show us how far they have fallen.
Ronaldo's put on some weight.
Yep.
He's not the man he used to be. He's twice the man.
Good on you, Nick. Good call. My issue is, I'd like to find out what the motive is behind bringing these marquee signings in. Obviously, it's to get that well-established player who's A, going to get bums on seats, and B, who's going to be able to get a result for
a
team.
In Ronaldo's case, he's got enough bum for everybody.
He's got enough bum for a big stadium. He's going to cover up Clive Palmer's 5,000-seat cap, okay? But, what's the motive there, guys? What do we think about these marquee signings, particularly taking into consideration that have been quite disappointing?
I think there's two things. One, it would be very good when surely anybody who's part of an A-League club is thinking a big name would be very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get out there starting to look for these names, and it is actually difficult to entice any footballer of a reasonable name to come across to the A-League while they've still got a bit of their
Arab
career.
Because the Arab leagues they're in the same market.
That's right.
Standard maybe not so high.
But certainly money-wise, they're eclipsing us. MLS as well is taking it, Thierry Henry is over there. Eric Cantona is part of the New York... New York Red Bulls or something.
Yeah.
So, look, we really are small fish in a big pond.
Yeah. Stronger Australian currency should help.
Yeah, I don't think it
will. We'll see how long that lasts. Joe Mirabella has left the Melbourne Heart as an owner, and there is speculation his position within the ownership group was untenable after his comments saying that the Heart should engage Ange Postecoglou ahead of the current coach, John Van Schip. There's that name again, Ange Postecoglou. Mm-hmm. Now, when he was kind of up for grabs there, everyone wanted Ange.
He did?
Everybody.
Melbourne Heart coach is the highest paid coach in the league, apparently.
Hello?
$700,000 a year.
How about that for some spundoolies, hey? Drinks on John Van Schip. That's a lot of money to be throwing around. And again, I know we've addressed this before, but I think that primarily one of the biggest problems with our current financial situation is that we're overpaying a lot of people within the A-League. Fact or fiction, lads? Discuss.
Well, quite possible. Nick, do you know how much Postecoglou is getting paid?
No, I don't. Be very interested. Yeah.
I think they would have raised the dollar to keep him.
I'd be very interested to see what, say, Huss Hiddink got paid compared to Okasek. And I know Farina was nowhere near that sort of amount of money.
Mm.
So
That's because you pay for what you get.
I think PNG are paying him big bucks now.
Yeah, we'll see about that. AFC
rolling in the Keener.
AFC President Mohammed bin Hammam says that he's relying on Australia and its friends in Asia as he plots to overthrow Sepp Blatter in the forthcoming FIFA presidential election. Lads, we've chatted about this before again, time and time again. Who do we prefer? Is it either or neither? Now, you can't tell me you prefer Sepp Blatter, because
that's a good place to start. I don't prefer Sepp Blatter. But bin Hammam, he's cut from the same cloth. He's got issues.
I was reading there were two other people attempted to run for president, Grant Wall and Elias Figueroa, who's three-time South American Player of the Year. Approached 150 football associations seeking nomination.
Wow.
They were all too scared to make it.
That's right, because the smaller nations have the same vote as, say, the bigger nations.
Yep.
And FIFA, through, say, Sepp and perhaps Bin Hammam now, fund these nations through their footballing program. So there's a bit of money linked, and it's actually quite difficult to separate the politics and the footballing money. So I think
in the outcome of the World Cup bids.
Well, one thing will be interesting. It's two political sharks going up against each other, and it'll be fun to watch for a little bit.
Look, at the end of the day, we need somebody that is anybody but Sepp Blatter. I think FIFA continues to be, and it has been for a number of years, and obviously very recognisable to many people, but FIFA themselves, one of the most corrupt sporting organisations in the world, and I say that with the utmost confidence.
Yeah. They've got the best product of any sporting organisation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet
Maybe that's the problem, Nick. Maybe they've got it all.
It's too easy,
and yeah. Mm. Anyway, sure. We'll see what happens. Australia coach Holger Osiek says he deliberately moved to shore up Adam Sirota's future with the Socceroos team to head off overtures from Poland.
From Poland, yeah.
Poland.
Who aren't bad.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do we think?
Well, I'm caught because there's a part of me that just thinks if you want to play for Australia, then you'll wait for Australia and you'll earn your shirt when that time comes.
Mm.
But also, we've suffered in the past for not being able to lock in players. So maybe it was a sound thing. But Sirota is a little bit too early for him.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree, but it's good to lock these guys in.
Mm. Yeah, I really don't have clarity of thought on that.
Mm, let's see what happens. Lads, I'm excited for this new segment. Paddy, please, take the floor.
Okay. This new segment, Lucy, that Nick and I have been working on is called We Want to Be Dario Vidicic's Friend.
Or Friends with Dario.
Friends with Dario is the name of the segment. So, Lucy, two weeks ago, if you recall.
Oh, good memory, yeah.
If you recall, you were name-dropping clunkety-clunk.
I'm not name-dropping. Come on. I'm referring to,
we
you know.
We want to be friends with Dario,
so
too.
You're saying you're friends with Dario.
Should
so
we
Nick
start?
So Nick and I went away and we thought, right, what do we lack? What do we need for credibility? We need footballing friends. So we thought we would start with Dario Vidicic.
Okay.
So what steps do we need to take to become Dario's friend?
What steps do we need to take? I actually met Dario when he was at the Australian Institute of Sport, so I'm not name dropping because I knew him before he was anybody.
Right. So okay. You're our link. You can help us with becoming
it's
friends
just
with Dario.
It's just the good, right place at the right time, lads. You know, you've got to have the right mutual friends. You've got to get out. You got to get out there and network. Okay,
no, we're not going to network. We're going to go straight to it. So here's our plan.
And you got to get friends with the guy's girlfriend, who happens to be a very dear friend of mine, Tegan Cumming. If you're listening, I love you, sweetheart.
Is she famous? And that we could.
Well, is she famous because she's dating Dario? Can we go that route?
Well, no, not really. That's not famous enough for me.
No.
So the friends with Dario segment.
Okay.
Fortnightly, we are going to attempt to get closer to Dario.
I think you need to devise a Facebook page. Now, Dario's no longer on Facebook. I think the only real way that you could get to him is through his girlfriend.
No.
And I don't know if she's best poised to field any friend requests from some random Canberran public servant.
All right. So, step one, we're going to write to him. We need an email address.
Yeah.
Surely you can write to him through his club.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm enjoying this segment already.
Our commitment to you. Our commitment to you, in 2 weeks' time, we will come with a letter prepared and we'll run it past you. And I want you to look at it and give some feedback, make sure we're not sucking up too much.
Okay, yeah.
And we still regain some credibility whilst reaching out.
Yeah.
For Dario.
Will you be my friend?
Will you be my friend? We'll get up a friend contract for you so you can't get out of it once he realises how mediocre you guys really are.
Yeah. Talk us up, Liz. Talk us up. So he will be.
You get some better co-hosts.
I want to move on now from this very intriguing segment right on to the Asian Champions League football. Now, Tuesday night, we've got Tianjin Tata versus Melbourne Victory. Have we got a chance, lads? Please, Paddy, would you like to talk us through this quickly?
Versus Melbourne Victory? No, I don't think so. I think Melbourne's heart has...
They've got quite a few injuries.
Yeah, has gone out of this game. They do have injuries, and they've got an interim coach. It just seems to me like they're going to throw away the chances at the ACL this week.
Interestingly, Tianjin, sister city to Melbourne, have already played a number of friendlies against the Victory.
Do you know we've got a lot of sister city exchanges between the A-League and Chinese clubs?
Mm.
Beijing Guan, according to my Beijing correspondents, Jen Terrell, tells me that Beijing sister city teams, I don't even know the term for this, with Gold Coast United.
Oh,
yeah.
Does anybody turn up to watch them play?
I think they've got like an 65,000 stadium.
Wow, that's going to look
stadium.
And Tando's going to make his debut.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's coming out to start for them. Now, we mentioned this off air. Yeah, what could go wrong? Plenty could go wrong, but if it does go right, it will go really well. Now, Tando, he's another cohort that's come up from the Australian Institute of Sport, and he's done well. I think he's done his time, but the unfortunate thing is, and again, I've brought this up before, you need to have experience as a goalkeeper, and that's just something that's going against him in this instance because we know he can be a bit inconsistent.
I love watching Tando Flappy. Now, the game is Tuesday night, so many people listening to this will already know the result.
Yeah, and predictions then, quickly.
There'll be celebrations in the streets of Melbourne as Melbourne Victory come in 7-0 winners.
7-0 winners? Gee, that's a bit bold.
I'm thinking more
take that to the TAB.
3-1 loss.
Yes, I think
3-1 loss, yeah. I don't think that Melbourne are going to have much of a chance, particularly with their coach disruptions.
Changing surprise early leaders in that group.
Now, the Wednesday night fixture is Sydney at home against Shanghai.
Shanghai Shenhua.
Nick, you've done a bit of research on this.
Nick, lead the way.
Look, they came second in the Chinese Super League last year, but they haven't started the season particularly well, but they have got the current Golden Boot winner from China, Divya Riascus.
Yeah. The guy who beat Joel Griffith to the Golden Boot. Well, I don't like him.
What are we missing?
I reckon Sydney have got a chance. Sydney needs
Sydney
to
have more of a chance than Melbourne.
Well, they certainly have more of a chance than Melbourne, but they've got with the J League games, the J League teams not playing in the month of March. Sydney have a couple of home games, and they could make a real run at getting in the top two spots.
They can. They might be a bit rusty though. It's been 5 weeks since they played.
They have a great advantage in this particular game. Is Mick Flynn was red carded, so he won't be making this game. So Sydney can really step into this game with a spring in their step.
Yeah, we'll
good
see.
Chance for David Williams.
Really keen to see him do well, and Durant here as well.
We'll see how
got a good team.
We'll see how that goes. Australia versus China.
Australia versus China. I suspect China will win.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Maybe aggregate goals.
Nick,
I'm not going to bet the house.
I think it'll be more even up. I think Sydney have a good chance of winning. Yeah, I think Melbourne are a bit shot.
We'll see how that goes. I want to move on a little bit quickly now before we wrap up the show for tonight. Time flies when you're having fun. The Oli Roos were drawn against Yemen in the second round of the Asian qualifiers for the 2012 London Olympics football tournament. What are our chances with our Oli Roos now? This is our chance to see the best and brightest go up, you know, against some of the best across the world, the most up-and-coming players. What are we looking like, boys?
I think one thing is we're not looking as confident as we used to be when we had to play the Pacific Nations, but I think that's only good for these younger teams. All the Australian teams.
If what they say that the sort of the 17 to 20 group is better than the 20 to 23 group, an under 23 tournament maybe doesn't suit us quite so well.
It'll be interesting to see because, again, I do like to see our young players come out, and it really gives us a good indication of what we're up against in terms of, you know, is Mark Schwarzer really going to be blowing out those 41st candles as he takes the stage to go and play in the World Cup again?
I suspect he will.
With his walker.
With his walker. Lads, that takes us towards the end of our show for the evening. As always, it's been a pleasure for the Near Post. And if you are going there...
Has anyone seen my pants? Get there first, the Near Post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you third.